effectively. Now, this is the house of power. The internal mind, the mind of imagination, the mind's eye of imagination is the all-seeing eye, the house of power. And so when we go into our own internal temple, our own inner house of power, and we call images before our mind's eye, and we choose to see things the way that we desire to see them, what we are doing is we are shaping energy at a fundamental level. The ancients called this shaping astral light. All right, welcome back to another episode of Daily Neville. I am your host, Josiah Brandt, and Daily Neville is all about breaking down the teachings of Neville Goddard, making them easy to understand, easy to digest, easy to apply in 20 minutes or less. Today, we are continuing with Neville's book titled Prayer, the Art of Believing, and this is Chapter 6, and Chapter 6 is titled Good Tidings. We're going to dive right into this, and we're going to illuminate the key information that really makes this chapter come alive. Neville writes, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that brings good tidings, that publishes peace, that brings good tidings of good, that publishes salvation." A very effective way to bring good tidings to another is to call before your mind's eye the subjective image of the person you wish to help and have him affirm that he has done that which you desired him to do. Mentally hear him tell you that he has done it. This awakens within him the vibratory correlate of the state affirmed, which vibration persists until its mission is accomplished. It does not matter what it is that you desire to have done or whom you select to do it. As soon as you subjectively affirm that it is done, results follow. Failure can only result if you fail to accept the truth of your assertion, or if the state affirmed would not be desired by the subject for himself or another. In the latter event, the state would realize itself in you, the operator. Okay, let's break down this paragraph. So he's talking about how all humans always will appreciate good tidings, good news. In some ways, we kind of live for good news. We kind of live for hope and for salvation. And Neville says that an effective way to bring good news or to bring salvation to another is to do it in the state of prayer. And in the state of prayer, we call that other before our mind's eye. That's what he means by subjective, the subjective image of another. So subjective means relating only to me internally, meaning that you can't see inside my mind's eye per se, but I can see an image inside of my mind's eye of another, and that's a subjective image. Now, if we're both looking at another outside of us, that would be an objective image of another. So if I'm actually looking at another person, you're sitting next to me, you're both looking at the same person together, we're both seeing an objective image of this other person. But when that person is removed and I'm simply sitting inside of my own imagination, I'm seeing a subjective image of that person, and I'm interacting with that image subjectively. Now, this is the house of power. The internal mind, the mind of imagination, the mind's eye of imagination is the all-seeing eye, the house of power. And so when we go into our own internal temple, our own inner house of power, and we call images before our mind's eye, and we choose to see things the way that we desire to see them, what we are doing is we are shaping energy at a fundamental level. The ancients called this shaping astral light. Astral light. So if the astral plane is the source code of reality, and this reality that we see here hardened into material forms is the offspring of this astral realm, our ability to visualize, our ability to hold images in our mind's eye, particularly with concentration, with emotion, as Neville teaches us to do, with feeling, shapes that astral energy at the level of the source code of reality, which ultimately creates the conditions, or as Neville says in his words, the vibratory correlates for that astral energy to take shape. Now, in this particular situation, we're talking about another, a so-called other, another person that we're calling before our mind's eye. So what we're doing is we're calling the template version of this other person. We're calling the astral plane template version of this other person, because that's what we see in the subjective world. That's what we see in the inner temple, the house of power. We're able to communicate with the astral version of the person. So we're calling the astral version or the template version of the person before our mind's eye, and then we are placing them in a state, and we are observing them doing something and then telling us that it is done. Now, this is how we shape and influence the behavior of others, because we're basically interacting with them at the level of the astral. And a lot of people won't talk about this because it is considered to be a house of power, and a lot of people are afraid of having this much power. A lot of people prefer to believe that their imaginations are not all powerful, and I can understand why, because it is requires a very specific level of consciousness to be able to assume control and responsibility, take responsibility for one's imaginal acts. So if you're following me along with this Daily Neville season 2 here, and perhaps you've even been through season 1 of Daily Neville, you're probably one of these people that is ready to take responsibility for your imaginal acts and to take responsibility for your own creative power. And as a famous person once said, it is not our darkness that we're afraid of. It's actually our light. We're not afraid that we're powerless. We're afraid that we're incredibly powerful. And those of you that are with me on this journey, we're ready to face this power, and we're ready to assume this level of consciousness that allows us to use this power for good, to bring good news or good tidings, as Neville says, to another. Continuing with Neville's train of thought here, it says, the seemingly harmless habit of talking to yourself is the most fruitful form of prayer. Now, this can be used to our detriment, or it can be used positively. Right? So always talking to ourselves, all of us always are. We always have a voice always narrating our lives. And that voice is a form of prayer. So if that voice is not praying the way that you would like it to pray, this is your opportunity to begin to assert some level of control and consciousness over that voice and begin to pray in the proper way, meaning pray in a beautiful way, that which is lovely and of good rapport, pray that way. A mental argument, Neville writes, with the subjective image of another is the surest way to pray for an argument. You are asking to be offended by the other when you objectively or in the external world meet that other. He or she is compelled to act in a manner displeasing to you, unless before meeting, you countermand or modify your order by subjectively affirming a change. Okay, so if I call before my mind's eye the image of another and I begin to argue with them, I've been guilty of this, as I'm sure everyone listening to this has at one time or another. You know, there's someone that you're not getting along with, and so you call their astral image, the template of them, in front of your mind's eye, and you start to carry on an argument with them. Now, their physical version of them when they show up in your actual daily reality is going to carry on that argument with you unless you change your influence over them by changing, or as he says, countermanding or modifying. Countermanding or modifying your order by seeing them in a different state before you meet. So we're constantly interacting with each other at this level of the astral plane or the template level of reality. So this is our opportunity to assert the states that we would like to see others embody. Unfortunately, Neville writes, man forgets his subjective arguments, his daily mental conversations with others, and so is at a loss for an explanation of the conflicts and misfortunes of his life. So what Neville is saying here is that this is what's happening, but we forget. We forget that we carried on a conversation at the level of the astral plane or the subjective subconscious mind in our mind's eye with another, and then we wonder why they showed up this way. As mental arguments produce conflicts, so happy and mental conversations produce corresponding visible states of good tidings. So it can be used for good or for ill. It's up to you. Man creates himself out of his own imagination. If the state desired is for yourself, and you find it difficult to accept as true what your senses deny, call before your mind's eye the subjective image of a friend, and have him mentally affirm that you are already that which you desire to be. So this is going into your mind's eye, into your imagination, imagining a friend celebrating your good fortune with you. This establishes in him, Neville writes, without his conscious consent or knowledge, the subconscious assumption that you are that which he mentally affirmed. Which assumption, because it is unconsciously assumed, will persist until it fulfills its mission. Its mission is to awaken in you its vibratory correlate, which vibration, when awakened in you, realizes itself as an objective fact. Another very effective way to pray for oneself is to use the formula of Job, who found that his own captivity was removed as he prayed for his friends. Fix your attention on a friend and have the imaginary voice of your friend tell you that he is or has that which is comparable to that which you desire to be or have. You know, they say that you will only ever receive what you first give. So if there's something that you long for in the world of men, give it to another. Give it to another in your imagination. Imagine them receiving it and celebrate their good fortune. And by giving it to another, you're awakening that same vibratory correlate within yourself. As you mentally hear and see this other friend, feel the thrill of his good fortune and sincerely wish him well. This awakens in him the vibratory correspondent of the state affirmed, which vibration must then objectify itself as a physical fact. You will discover the truth of the statement, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." The quality of mercy is twice blessed. It blesses him who taketh and him who giveth. The good you subjectively accept as true of others will not only be expressed by them, but a full share will be realized by you. Transformations, Neville writes, are never total. Force A is always transformed into more than a force B. A blow with a hammer produces not only a mechanical concussion, but also heat, electricity, sound, a magnetic change, and so on. The vibratory correlate in the subject is not the entire transformation of the sentiment communicated. The gift transmitted to another is like the divine measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over, so that after the 5,000 are fed from the 5 loaves and 2 fish, 12 baskets full are left over. So what he is saying here is that the state that you are sending to another, that's not all that you're communicating. You're actually communicating even far more. There's subtleties and nuances to the state that you're communicating that are also accepted by the other. And he says the gift transmitted to another is like the divine measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So meaning that this is a gift that although you give it once, it's in its fullness of being received by the other or by yourself, it's more than the sum of the gift given. It's the gift that keeps on giving. And there's an abundance to this idea. As he says, mercy is blessed twice. It blesses the one who gives and the one who receives. There's this multiplier aspect to these ideas. Okay, so that's Good Tidings, chapter 6 by Neville in the book Prayer, the Art of Believing. In the next chapter, chapter 7, we're going to learn about the greatest prayer as we continue to take these ideas from Neville Goddard's famous books to the next level by surfacing the diamonds, the truths that are layered within these amazing words. I look forward to seeing you in the next. And until then, imagine wisely, my friends.